The No Outsiders program was created in 2014 by Andrew Moffat, the assistant head teacher at Parkfield Community School in Birmingham. The program aims to teach children about the characteristics protected by the Equality Act, such as sexual orientation and religion. Books used in the program include stories about a dog that doesn't feel it fits in, two male penguins that raise a chick together, and a boy who likes to dress up like a mermaid. But some parents at Parkfield Community School say lessons featuring books depicting same-sex relationships are not age-appropriate. The lessons have created a furious debate involving court injunctions and many pages of opinion columns. The debate ultimately raises the big question about to what extent societies need to share the same values and how those values are communicated to the next generation. Does a cohesive society have to uphold a shared and single version of the good? Or is it okay for views on this topic to diverge? Should there be many different schools teaching many different perspectives? Is it right for a state education system to impose a particular set of moral values on everyone, even if we are sympathetic to them? And to what extent should the state shape and determine attitudes, feelings, and thoughts? I'm Darren Grimes, Digital Manager at the IEA, and joining me to discuss is Joanna Williams, Associate Director at Spikes, and Benjamin Butterworth, Weekend Editor and Reporter for the I newspaper. Thank you very much for both of you for joining me today.
Thank you.
Now, I want to start, Joanna. You wrote a piece for Spiked arguing that Esther McVeigh is right to defend the parents who don't want their children to be taught about the same-sex marriage and other things in the Birmingham schools row, Esther being the Conservative MP who backed the parents. Can you talk me through your position and how you arrived at it?
Yeah, certainly. So I was a teacher myself. This is going back a few years now. I taught English and I've got three children of my own who are currently at schools in the UK. And I just think that there's a real distinction to be drawn between values and between knowledge. And I'm absolutely 100% in favour of kids being taught about sex. I think it's really important that kids know about reproduction. But as soon as you move beyond that and move into the area of relationships, you're imposing a particular set of values. It's impossible, I think, to teach about relationships without getting into the terrain of values. Also, I think just the idea that anyone can be an expert in relationships. So I don't think I was particularly brilliant at English, but I certainly knew more about literature than the kids did. But the idea that you can have some particular expertise in relationships that qualifies you to stand in front of a class and actually teach about relationships, I think is a very complicated area, a very complicated proposition. But I think as soon as we get into values, values compete with each other. And for a long time, I think a very important value that we held in this country was about religious freedom and tolerance of people holding different religious views. And it seems that that is now being eroded in favour of a different set of values that are not being argued about with adults, between adults, but I think the going straight to children in the context of the classroom actually avoids having these debates as a society about, as adults, what do we think? And it uses children to socially engineer a different set of values that the adults in their lives are not buying into.
Benjamin, I know you disagree with Joanna's position, but can you talk me through why you do, first of all?
Yeah, I mean, the truth is you can't socially engineer the existence of gay people. They are in primary schools and secondary schools. And the truth is that as a gay man, I remember that the first time I realised I was different but couldn't put a finger on it, I was probably 4 or 5 years old. And the first time I recognised that I was attracted to other boys was probably 9, 10 years old. And that wouldn't be different particularly to a heterosexual child when they first start to have those natural feelings for other human beings. And so it can be a very confusing time. And I think this isn't about social engineering. This is about simply reflecting the facts of life to those children so they can have a healthy understanding. There are so many gay kids who grow up to have deep mental health issues. I wouldn't be surprised to say it isn't a minority. I think it's a majority who grew up with deep insecurities because they were taught that they were wrong from an early age or they were ignored in the world around them. But then you've also got the majority of kids, the vast majority of kids who won't be LGBT. And I think for them, it's incredibly important that they know such people exist. The idea that you can come from a home where the existence of those people is denied, I would say that is social engineering, because that is parents putting a specific narrow view of the world, which their children will go up to find out isn't true. And I think the truth is, that's what confuses children, not simply giving them the facts of life.
So just to come back on some of that, I think it's brilliant that we have gay teachers in our schools. And of course, we do, and we would, and we should have gay teachers in our schools, because of course, gay people exist and are fundamentally a part of society. And I think as a society, fantastically, brilliantly, we have really progressed generally in our attitudes towards gay people. There aren't the same taboos, there isn't the same degree of homophobia as there was if you go back. I'm certainly not saying it doesn't exist at all, but compared to 2, 3, 4 decades ago, people are generally a lot more tolerant nowadays, and gay people are a lot more visible, socially visible, on television, on the internet, social media, in schools, as part of society. And I think that's absolutely fantastic. So nobody, certainly not me, is suggesting that gay people should be removed from schools, should be hidden away in schools, that their existence should be denied. I actually would be very relaxed about the books that you mentioned in the introduction, Darren, being left around in the classroom alongside other books for children to have a look at. What I'm challenging is this very explicit instruction as part of relationships classes, where rather than just having the gay teacher in as part of the school staff, somebody stands up in front of children and says, this is the book that we're going to look at today. This is what we're talking about now.
Doesn't Joanna have a point, Benjamin? Because if you think about in a society where acceptance of homosexuality is at an all-time high, where gay people are ubiquitous in popular culture, where discrimination on the basis of sexuality is outlawed, and where same-sex marriage has been legalised and, for the most part, accepted, Do you still think there is that need to have specific relationship education?
Absolutely, not just for the gay people themselves, who should be helped to come to terms with themselves, because even if you're reflected in television and in other parts of culture, it's still a very difficult thing to understand about yourself. And anyone getting to know themselves growing up, it's complicated. It's even more complicated if you're gay, because, you know, it's hard to find other people in real life like you. But the truth is that if you think about, if you're saying religious freedom is one of the issues here, which is a value, then where do you draw the line on that? Is it that parents who say that it's part of their religion to that a man can beat a woman and control a woman and not let her leave the house or have a job? Are you saying that our schools should tolerate that if they should tolerate ignoring gay people exist? I think it's a very difficult line there. And the second thing is that there is a freedom of speech issue here. I don't deny that. So you've got the freedom of the religions and the freedom of gay people to be reflected. And ultimately, you have to choose one at some point along the line. I don't accept that there's some perfect form of freedom of speech that allows either of them. You do have to compromise. But what I would say is that the freedom for gay people to exist and to be talked about and taught about is more important than the freedom of someone with a religion to choose to say they don't like gay people.
But I think there's a huge difference between not teaching something and tolerating it. So if you think about it, there are an awful lot of moral values that we do not explicitly teach to children. So in my experience, you know, very few teachers stand up at the front of the class and say, now, children, I want you to know that it's really wrong to murder people. I want you to know that it's really wrong to steal, because we assume that children have a moral compass, or that through the process of growing up in society, in communities, and schools are a very, very important part of that community, that children imbibe values, imbibe a sense of morality that is not explicitly taught to them. So I would really hope, as a teacher myself, and I would really hope other teachers as well, if you saw an example of homophobic bullying, for example, going on in your classroom or in the playground, that you you would call that out as a teacher. You would say, this is wrong. This is not a decent way to behave. We do not do this in this classroom, in this school. This is not a good way for people to carry on. You would really tell the children off and make it very clear this was unacceptable. But that is not the same as standing up in the front and actually teaching a positive set of values.
But hang on, here's the flaw in that argument. Because you say after they've done the action, you should tell them, oh, that was bad, you shouldn't have done that. And then what? This innocent kid turns around and say, oh, well, you never told me there was a problem with it. And when I go home, mum and dad say that they hate gay people or they hate girls, and so I should be allowed to slap them in the class.
But you're modelling tolerance within your classroom. So like I say, you know, we are not standing at the front of a class saying to children, don't murder kids. When you get out there in the playground, you know, don't beat each other into a pulp. Teachers don't say that on a regular basis. We assume...
Do you, right? You tell kids all the time, because kids are quite aggressive at times.
Well, yes, but you have a set of school rules, and tolerance, I think, would be a very important value within the school environment. And it's that, it's implicit values. The point I'm getting at is that children pick up and imbibe values from society, from culture, from what's going on all around them. The very fact that it needs to be explicitly stated suggests that it's in contradiction to the parents. And what I'm suggesting there is that if we want to change values in society more broadly, we need to be having these arguments adult to adult, not going straight to 4 and 5 year olds.
And then Benjamin, you did mention or sort of suggest that there were trade-offs, or there would be a trade-off. But so in a free society, people with different and conflicting ideas about what is right and what is wrong can live together and interact together peacefully, as long as no one causes physical harm to each other, which I'm sure that's a sentiment we all share and agree with. But to what extent is the No Outsiders programme and some parents' opposition to it compatible with that? And where do you think those trade-offs are in a free society? At what point are you just saying, actually, no, the state knows best how to bring up your kids?
But that's the true nub of this issue, because there is no doubting that those parents feel that their freedom is curtailed by teaching their kids something that they see as part of against their values. Now, I don't deny that. I simply say that the right for those kids to know that gay people exist, or that if they are realizing they're gay later in life themselves, that that's okay. I simply think that that should trump their parents' value to say that it's wrong in the end. But also, you know, the argument that this is like LGBT issues versus Islam, or for that matter, some other religions, sections of religions that have come out against this No Outsiders programme, I dislike that intensely, not least because there are many religious gay people who see no contradiction of that in themselves, but also because in this row, there is nobody more caught in the middle than the Muslim kids that will grow up to realise they're LGBT later in life. And those are the ones most damaged by it, and that's why I'm so uncomfortable with it. And there's an argument that's been made by some people of some of them racist, not all racist, which is that this shows that these Muslims don't fit in with our values, that they're not assimilating. And actually, 30 years ago, the number of white Christians in this country who would have held these views to this extent would have been the same as Muslims now. And so I simply think that we have to stand up for those values and say that these are more fundamental in order to change attitudes in those communities.
But you see, I completely agree with you that values and attitudes today are completely different to what they were 30 years ago. But then you think, well, what's happened? You know, it's not the case that for the past 30 years, teachers have been standing up in class and saying, look, kids, gay people exist. Attitudes have changed despite what's been going on in schools, not because of what's been going on in schools. And I think this idea that kids are just like victims of the home environment and can't think critically, can't move beyond the home environment, isn't true. I mean, kids live in a broader culture and a broader society that goes beyond school and beyond the home. So I went to Catholic school as a child up until the age of 10. My single ambition in life was to get to heaven. I took this also very, very seriously. Moved schools 2 weeks later, moved house, moved school 2 weeks later, dropped it all completely. You know, had no interest in it whatsoever. And I think that part of the reason why I could drop it so quickly was because school was not the sum total of my life. You know, I lived in a society within a culture that wasn't telling kids all the time, you know, your one aim should be to go to heaven. And I think, you know, even kids in the strictest Muslim families are growing up with other influences. I think it will still be a challenge for those kids to come out as gay to their parents. I have no doubt about that whatsoever.
They risk their lives in some cases.
Absolutely. But which is tragic and terrible. But I don't think having a teacher when you're age five saying, look, this penguin has two dads, is necessarily going to make that any less challenging.
And Benjamin, that's right, though, isn't it? Because we had Section 28 when both you and I, who are both gay men, were growing up. And yet still, we are in a society where we are more free than gay men and women have ever been at any point.
I mean, attitudes to homosexuality were much worse when Section 28 was actively in place. And there's no doubt there's been a big change since it wasn't there. The relationship is hard to read. Now, the thing is, if you're a kid growing up with two parents in, for example, a Muslim household, although there are some Catholic households, some Orthodox Jewish households will be just like this, and your parents are telling you that it is wrong, disgusting and immoral to be gay, and quite possibly simply that it's not real, that it doesn't exist, and you're realising that you have those feelings. Now, you might have quite a narrow view of the world. You assume that kids in these houses have access to wider culture. Actually, as a child, you know, you can be very limited by your parents if they wish to control you to that extent. And I think that if that kid doesn't have a teacher at school and the resources giving them the information about the world around them and about why they should be happy with themselves so they can focus on more important things like, you know, schooling and education in their future career, if you don't have that access to information, which the kid of liberal parents and tolerant parents has, then that is doing a deep disservice to that kid who is unable to have the same level of education as every other
but
child.
But don't we then get... Sorry, Joanna, I will let you come back. But don't we then get into really sort of dangerous territory of you are the one who's deciding what is liberal and what is tolerant and what views should be sort of, I guess, taught to those children. Who decides? Who is the ultimate arbiter of what is good in society, and should that really be the state education that makes that decision?
I mean, look, all our education, all our laws are conclusions of social attitudes at the time. You know, they're all things that are flexible and can be changed and do get changed. You know, we don't stone women to death in this country, but there are places where that would be a conclusion of social attitudes. So I think that's simply just the nature of society. But I almost resent the word liberal being used to describe things like gay rights. I really wish it wasn't considered liberal in any way.
It's
I just think
equality, right?
I just think it's a basic that ought to be there, like the existence of women having the same human rights.
And I don't think Joanna disagrees with any
No, no. But I think the really important question to ask here is what is the role of the school in society? Is the role of the school to impart and teach knowledge, subject knowledge, to children, to teach them how to read, to teach them how to write, to teach them about literature and geography? Or is the role of the school to impart values? Because I actually agree with what you're saying here, that schools have taken on a role in imparting values. To me, though, that is quite a dangerous thing, because as you point out yourself, the values that society has, the kind of elite values that then become represented on the curriculum, change. So this was why 30 years ago we had Section 28. So you might agree now with it seems like you do agree with the dominant values that people are wanting to put on the curriculum. So you go down this line and you say, great, the role of the school is to change some children's values, to confirm other children's values, to play this role in bringing about a different type of changing people's attitudes. But then 20, 30 years on from now, heaven forbid, but 20, 30 years on from now, we have a different type of government, we have a different type of society, a different set of dominant values come in and say, actually, do you know what? We want to bring back Section 28. You've already said the role of the school is to impart values and change people's attitudes. We don't like these ones, we want to bring in different ones. What do you say then?
But I don't think that I shouldn't argue for kids to be taught it's okay to be themselves for fear of the idea that in 30 years time some horrible people could take over the country and say the opposite. You know, I think that would be a gutless argument.
But it's actually a really bizarre idea that the role of the school is to teach kids that it's okay to be themselves. So when I was a teacher, you know, I taught literature. I didn't teach kids it's okay to be yourself. You know, how would that kind of lesson look? Well, how do you teach that? Again, you know, if I saw kids being nasty to each other, I would challenge it. If I saw a kid looking withdrawn and anxious, I would try and deal with that. I would try and be generally a nice person and model what it means to be a good citizen. But the idea that the role of the school is to teach kids it's okay to be themselves suggests a very kind of therapeutic ethos for the school, which I would object to.
Well, I'd say three things. First of all, I think if you're heterosexual, or if you're, you know, from the mainstream idea of our society, I would say a white straight boy, then you will be taught that it's okay to be yourselves, but it is implicit because it is in the books that you pick up in school. It's probably all the stories that you do in GCSE and A-level literature will be centered around things like that. You will learn about yourselves and have it reflected and told all sorts of different stories about what you can do with your life in day-to-day life implicitly. And so that's why I think there needs to be some explicit things to talk about LGBT people so that they can have the same access. The other thing I'd say is that primary school is obviously quite different to secondary school, and a lot of it is about building the person and letting them get to know themselves and learning things like play and friendships and how to socialise on a basic level.
But you see, you don't learn those things, you do those things. You play, you talk to other people. You don't have explicit instruction in how to play. The teacher doesn't stand at the front and say, now this is how you make friends, now this is how you play with the Lego, this is how you should carry on in the sandpit or whatever. Children just do those things. And the point you're making about heterosexual relationships being the norm, so people implicitly pick up that that's acceptable, for sure. I absolutely agree, and I totally get that. I think things are changing, though, as we've already acknowledged, and I think there's far more high profile gay relationships in the country, and I think that's a good thing. But I think the idea then that we're changing norms through explicit lessons to 4 and 5 year olds and older children, again, suggests to me this element of social engineering. I think if we want to change attitudes, we need to have arguments with adults. And there may be a very, very good case for having these arguments with adults, but we don't bypass the arguments with adults and go instead to children.
Okay, so I think a question that I'll put to both of you, which I think you'll be able to answer, I can see you've got a burning sort of desire to come back on that. But John Stuart Mill said that a system of state education is a great device for trying to make all people alike. To what extent do you think his words should be considered in the Parkfield school debate? And to what extent should the state shape and determine attitudes, feelings, and thoughts? I'll go to Benjamin first.
I don't think it's about making kids alike, but it's about schools being the equaliser, so that regardless of the background you come from, whether it's, you know, brainy parents or rich or poor parents or homophobic parents or liberal parents, a school is the place that can give you the same access to information. Now, it assumes as well that just because a kid goes to a school where they, from a young age, had a kid with two princes falling in love, which is terribly unrealistic because I'm yet to fall in love with a prince. So, you know, it really is misleading children. But it assumes that they would come to the conclusion in the end that they shouldn't be homophobic. You know, there might still be kids that come to that. And I think it almost underestimates children and their minds to think that they would, just because they're given these values, that they would come to the same conclusions. Not all of them will do that.
Right. I wonder if to end, you would both give me a sentence on what you would like the next Prime Minister of this country, whoever that may be, to consider when they're thinking about relationships, education.
So I think the next Prime Minister should keep the sex and relationship reforms that have recently been passed. But what needs to be done now is, I'm afraid, to get rid of the exemptions for faith schools to opt out of much of this. Because if you're a child, it doesn't matter what your parents are, which school you go to, where you're from, you could still be gay, you'll still discover gay people in the world. And I think the education system should offer the same sex and relationship education as mandatory before 16 at any school. And there's nothing that shows that more, the issue with that, than the No Outsiders programme at Parkfields, which isn't a faith school, and so it doesn't have a right to opt out. And yet almost every pupil at that school is of Islamic faith. And so I don't think faith schools should get those exemptions. I think they should be gone. I don't think you should be able to take your kids out under 16 because I think that's unhealthy. And also when it comes to the sex education side, the idea of not giving them the facts of life until they're 16 is blatantly absurd because that's the age at which they could have started doing it by the time you're saying that they have to learn about it, which is stupid as well as something I disagree with. And so I think that's what you need to do, and that we should stop being afraid from central government to stand up for this. Because one of the problems of this situation is that it puts the argument in the playground and not in Parliament. And frankly, we should come to a conclusion about what our values are. It's the opposite of what you say, and say that these things should be taught, they should be compulsory, they are healthy, they are right for kids, and make that decision centrally so that you don't get months of protests outside school gates that put decent, hardworking teachers in the firing line when they should be able to get on with teaching what we've all agreed is right to teach.
So I think the next Prime Minister should ditch the new guidelines for sex and relationships education altogether. I don't think there's anything positive in schools teaching people about relationships. I think the Parkfield parents are now running the risk of being labelled bigots when the deputy head teacher of Parkfield was openly gay. He'd been to Buckingham Palace, he'd been given OBE or something like that for the programme he'd introduced. The parents did not object to this at all. They're very, very happy having this teacher in place. I don't think the parents are bigots, but I actually think the rights of parents are really, really important. And I think if being a parent means something, then it means you are able to shape and bring your children up as you see fit. We see teachers looking in children's lunch boxes nowadays, taking out chocolate biscuits and cakes. I think that there's no longer this clear dividing line between the realm of the home, the realm of the parents, the realm of teachers, and the realm of the school. And I think that's hugely problematic and opens up all kinds of potential disputes for the future. I think we need to keep sex education. Girls need to leave primary school knowing about periods. I think it's really terrible that some children don't have that knowledge, but children do not need explicit lessons in relationships. They imbibe values when it comes to relationships implicitly rather than being explicitly taught about relationships.
Benjamin and Joanna, thank you very much for joining me today. What do you at home think? You can tweet us at IEA London and let us know your thoughts. And you can subscribe to this podcast channel after this, I'm sure you'll want to, on Apple Podcasts by searching for IEA Conversations.